we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go. It's a Thursday morning in Brevard County. You know, when you do these for a while, you got to look for ways to get people's attention. And so if you wonder what's going on sometimes I'm just trying to be a little creative to keep it from becoming the same entrance every day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, and I am thrilled to do so. We are thankful that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM today to catch the Refresh radio broadcast. And we pray that the word that we share today will make a difference in your heart and in your life. And I believe that it will, because we're talking about the Word of God and the difference that it makes in our life. We've been in Hebrews chapter 4. This makes our fifth broadcast, I believe, on Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. This may be where we end up on this one today, but I pray that it will launch you into a journey where you allow the living, powerful, sharp, piercing Word of God to penetrate to the core of your being and bring about the needed transformations. You know, we've had a new couple at our church for a few months, and they've been helping us out with our youth and children's ministry, and they kind of got thrown into the fire. They showed up on a Saturday. We were at church with them on Sunday, and then we were off for 2 weeks on vacation, and so we finally, after they had been there almost a month, we got to have a discussion with them and said, "Hey, what are you noticing?" And they said, "Pastor, before we doing it, we just would like to be in observation mode for a little bit to, you know, to see if there are any sacred cows, anything that isn't supposed to be touched or anything like that." And I was like, you know, we don't have any sacred cows, and that's kind of church lingo for it's something that somebody has particular attachment to, and as a result of that attachment, you really can't touch it. And there's a couple of hands that have touched almost everything at the church, and those are mine. And I tell you what, there's nothing there that I worship more than Jesus. If I did something and there's a better way to do it, then I'm all for a better way to do it. So we do want to thank you for tuning in today. Let's look to Hebrews chapter 4. That's where we've been, and we're going to be reading there. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to our services Sunday morning. Now, we do not have a Sunday night service this week. We do not have a Sunday night service, so be sure, if you were planning on attending our service this coming Sunday night, can you plan for next Sunday night? Because we're not going to be having our traditional Sunday night. We're having a leadership meeting, and so we're looking for better. I'm looking for me to be better, and so that's what we're having a meeting about, is what is God saying to the church that we need to do to make every ministry in the church better. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 11. "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so in verse 13, we see that this word we have been discussing, it says, there's no creature hidden from his sight, capital H-I-S, and open to the eyes of him, H-I-M, to whom we must give account. So let's look at this first of all and see that there is a day of accounting. There is a day where we are going to stand before. Now, I did not realize this until I tore into the original languages and began to look up these words. But, you know, it seems like a very cut and dry, very forthright statement here that everything is exposed to the eyes of God. But when you look into the culture of the day and look at the verbiage that is used, you will find that verse 13 is describing a legal accounting. It is a person standing in a courtroom having to give an account of, what are we talking about? Having to give an account of their obedience or their disobedience. Having to give an account of being diligent to entering the rest or staying outside of it. There is an accounting that we're going to have to do about whether the word was alive in your heart, whether it was a powerful word. I don't know about you, but I'm just thankful that God has entrusted to us a powerful, liberating word. Praise the Lord for that. And that it makes its mark and that it touches not just out of the mouth that we speak, but it touches us to the very core of our being. And it says that we are going to have to give an account to him, and that is the living word. You see, believers will stand before the Bema seat of Christ, and we will have to give an account of the talents and the gifts and the opportunities that God has entrusted to us. Now, the world measures success by itself. It says, you know, if I have more money than you, I am successful. If my title is bigger than you, I am successful. If I have more toys than you, then I am successful. If I am more famous than you, then I am successful. And so there is the world's definition of success. I believe that God's definition of success is an entirely different definition. I believe that God says this: did you make the most out of the opportunities that I brought your way? Now, I am a great believer in faithfulness. I am more confident of the essentiality of faithful men and women than I've ever been before in my life. Faithfulness is hard to find. The Bible talks about, but a faithful man who can find. Here's why I want to be faithful and be surrounded. To the faithful, God shows himself faithful. To the faithful, God shows or reveals himself. In other words, when we are faithful to God and faithful to the covenant relationships that we have around us, then he reveals his faithfulness to us. He opens our eyes so that we can perceive faithfulness where before we did not perceive faithfulness. God says that he opposes the shrewd. In other words, he's standing there and people have this mindset that God is opposing them, trying to keep them from being happy, when in actuality, God is opposing them, trying to keep them alive. He's trying to get them on the pathway of life so that they do not end up in a place of destruction, because apart from him, they are condemned already. So literally, God is like the guardrail keeping you from going off of the cliff. And he says, for we believers, we are going to stand before the Bema seat of Christ. It is a place where we are going to be judged by every opportunity. And I will tell you this, when you look into the Greek and it talks about to whom we must give account, there's a combination of words there, one of which ties in with where we were back in verse number 12, and it talks about the Logos of God. We are going to have to give an account to Jesus about the living word that he placed inside of us. You see, to whom much is given, much is required. And God, he wants to teach us his ways. I believe that when the parable of the talents was being discussed, and there was one with 10, there was one with 5, and there was one with 1, I believe that the one with 10 had first initially been entrusted with 1, and when he was faithful with that one, he was entrusted with more. And when he got to where he was entrusted with 5, then and he was found faithful there, then the master entrusted him with 10. And then he gave him 10 more. On top of that, he gave him the one that the guy was unfaithful with. I believe you saw various stages there of demonstrating the faithfulness of God. We are going to have to give an account. That's why I want to make sure that I repent often. The Bible says that we are going to have to give an account for every idle word that we have spoken. And the way my take on that is that we are going to have to give an account for every word that we speak that is not of faith, that it's just lifeless. It's just it's just filling up the airways, blah, 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 blah. Remember the old Peanuts, Charlie Brown Christmas, and the teacher always went blah, 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 and you never could understand what they were saying back there. I don't want my language filled with all of that. He says, you're going to have to give an account. Now, it says that when we do give that account, we've got to realize that we are not going to be hidden from his sight, but we are going to be naked and open to the eyes of him. If you and I and our society were ever to embrace that we are an open book before God, that he knows why we are doing things. I believe that we are in such an age of deception. There is a scripture that talks about in the last days, people are going to follow deceiving spirits. And here's the dangerous thing about being deceived is if you are really deceived, you're not going to know it. You're not going to know it. That's why we need the word of God. I saw an article here a week or so ago about some parents who were devastated because their children had decided to abandon the faith. They said, we were very faithful to attend church at least once a quarter whenever there wasn't anything else going on, and now our kids don't want to have anything to do with church. And the parents are saying, what did we do wrong? What did we do wrong? Here is the reality. If you're an adult listening, or you know, a child is listening, here's the thing. For the most part, society takes a lesser road. It takes a working of the Spirit of God for you to rise above the level of influence that you were raised with. Okay? And so if you were not passionate about the Word of God, if you were apathetic about it, then your children are going to be even more apathetic. If you were, if church was nothing more than an act of convenience for you, then it's going to be less of a convenience for your kids. And so I want my kids, I've always wanted them to see that my relationship with God and the things that I do for him are not because I have to, but because I want to, because being in the center of God's will is the sweetest spot to be in. So we're going to have to give an account for the words that we speak. We're going to have to give an account for not only the things that we did, but why we did them. Guess what? As a pastor, I have to give an account of watching over the souls that have been entrusted to me. And so those things that have been committed to me, I don't run from them. I just know that one day I'm going to have to stand before God, and it says that there's going to be some things that are burned up like wood, hay, and stubble, because they were either done improperly, done in my strength instead of God's strength. They were done with the wrong motives or at the wrong time. It didn't result in the glory of God, and that stuff will be burned up. I would be saved, but I would lose the reward that was possible at that point in time. But then there's other things that when they are tried by fire at the Bema Seat of Christ, that they are going to come shining forth like gold, metal, and precious stones. And that's what I want to receive, because the crown that I receive, I'm going to turn around. Revelation talks about the elders in heaven. They lay their crowns at the feet of Jesus. They lay their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And so I want to have something there. I have been in the place where the offering basket went by and I literally had nothing to give. I like it when the offering plate comes by and I have the ability to be a blessing. I prefer that. So this is a legal proceeding here. And so it says that no creature is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So when I was looking this up and reading some commentaries on it, and I found it in two different locations, it said that when a person was standing in court and they were going to have to give an account for what they had done, that there were two possibilities. One, someone would come up and they would grab their jaws and they would hold their face to where it was facing the judge. There was none of this stuff of bowing their head in shame or closing their eyes in shame. A person would literally hold them. In other words, this was a very serious moment. I don't know if you have ever seen a news report where somebody was in court and it was a very egregious event that they had taken part in. They were accused of something that was very violent and you know, very high profile. And so it showed, and they're in there joking and laughing. I want you to know, standing before the King of Kings is no laughing matter. And you're not going to be able to bluff your way or wink your way out of it or buy influence or intimidate. God will not be intimidated. Listen, if when Satan rose up in rebellion, he was expelled from heaven, guess what? You and I are not going to be able to bluff our way through or schmooze our way through or any of that. I think I might have told you on here before about a person that I was witnessing to very early in my adult life, and they said, look, when I stand before God, I will explain to him how it was down here, and he will let me. And I want you to know that you and I will be standing there. We will behold the Lord in his beauty. And let me just say this. Everybody, every Christian, every atheist, and everyone in between, every man, woman, and child that's ever lived on planet Earth is going to stand either before the Bema Seat of Christ or the Great White Throne of Judgment. On that day, it says that at the Great White Throne of Judgment, it talks about that the dead, that the sea and hell and the grave, death, hell, and the grave, all of them are going to give up their dead, and the dead will stand before God. They will see him as he is, holy and high and lifted up and worthy of praise, perfect in all of his ways and righteous in all of his judgments. And at that point in time, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to do that voluntarily now rather than by compulsion later, because I recognize that he is worthy of praise. And so it says here, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. Now, there was two ways that they did that. The one is they would take their hands and they would forcefully hold the accused or the one who was having to give an account. They would hold his face facing the judge. Another method that was used was they would take a very pointed sword and they would position it at the base of this person's throat. And if the person moved, there was going to be negative consequences. I mean, when I read that, and to be honest with you, folks, up until a few weeks ago, I had never studied it to that level and saw that. And I said, man, that sounds like, you know, an action movie type thing where they have a sharp object at the point where if the person were to move, it would be all over. Now, I want you to know that God's not trying to scare us and intimidate us. He is trying to let us know that there's a day that is coming where every word that has been entrusted to us, we're going to have to give an account for. That every day that we have been given, that He ordered our steps and directed our path, we will have to give an account. Now, we could either stand there all by ourselves and try and justify our actions, or we could stand there with our advocate, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and let Him plead our case for us. I am of this mindset that freedom in the court of heaven does not come from a not guilty plea. That freedom in heaven comes when we say to the God who knows every detail, God, I'm guilty. Please forgive me of my sins. Wipe them away and empower me so that I don't do that again. I just want you to know, a lot of times we tend to have this very complacent mindset about whether or not we're doing what God wants us to. I believe that God really wants to grip our hearts with the serious. Listen, if we're serious about reaching 7 billion people on planet Earth with the gospel, we need to be hearing what Jesus is saying to His church. Isn't that what Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 is all about? Let me take you over there just a second. And it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus writes, these things says He who holds the 7 stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. And it ends, and that statement ends in verse number 7 to that church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In verse 8, to the church of Smyrna, these things says the first and the last who was dead. And it goes on and on and on. God lets us know, I speak to my church, and if anybody will listen, if they've been equipped by me to hear, then let them hear, because I'm speaking to the church. I believe that God has a plan to reach your family members and your neighbors and people around the world if we would just listen to what He has to say. You know, last week I was talking with somebody and I shared a testimony with them that about a person that I was ministering to, and that God spoke to me and he gave me a directive that was contrary to my nature. And it ended up being exactly the right word for that situation. So I am of the mindset that when God speaks, He's the authority. God's not looking for us to debate Him on the subject. He's looking for us to obey Him when it comes to the subject. And so when there is coming a day when we're going to have to give an account, I sure want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest. You see, whenever we read that, we might think that because I encounter this a lot. Let me say it to you this way. that there's a lot of people who have so been beat down in this world and by society that they just expect to go away humiliated. God is not looking to humiliate the body of Christ. He's looking to brag on the body of Christ, to boast of the body of Christ. Have you considered my servant Job? I challenge our church. I want to be the type of church that Jesus says, have you considered my saints at Merit Assembly of God? Have you considered the listeners to the Refresh Radio broadcast? You see, I want to obey. I want to only have to hear one time, this is what to do, and I'm going to do it. So let me pray for you. And as you get ready for this Thursday, may you go out and have a powerful, powerful day in the name of Jesus. Father, we just come to you right now. Lord, I want to thank you for every listener. I want to thank you for everyone who's tuned in. Lord, today the reality may be setting in that we are not supposed to be very cavalier with our attitude towards the Word of God and towards your directives, but instead we're supposed to be diligently obeying. God, I pray that your Word of God would be precious to us, that we would look to your Word and that it would be the one who lets us know what to think, lets us know what our emotions should be, challenges us to embrace your will. God, I pray that it would make a spiritual impact. I pray that as your word goes forth, that the Spirit of the living God would move in our services. God, I pray that bodies would be healed. I pray, oh God, that people's bones would be healed, that the marrow, Lord, would be touched by the word of God. Lord, I pray today that you would, that every thought that we think, God, you tell us to take every thought captive and bring it into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If there's any thought that is being harbored right now that is not of you, I pray, God, that it would receive an eviction notice right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, that we would only think on those things that you would have us to think. God, I pray that every person would realize one day we're going to stand in your presence, and Lord, how desperately we long to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I pray that there would be multitudes of acts of faith that are birthed as a result of this broadcast today. Lord, ministries would be done, that souls would be saved, that people's lives would be touched, and Lord, that there would be a multitude of people here in Brevard County that you are ready to say, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of my rest. God bless you. We want to thank you for tuning in again today. We will be back here tomorrow, right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.